Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday, May the 14th. And happy Mother's Day to everyone who is a mother, who has been mothered, who nurtures, supports, and loves those around them. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all those who wish to define their spirit, mind, and body identity. I jerry-rigged that just a little bit, but you know what I'm talking about. So today we are going to be very gifted to have our good friend Christine Harper with us. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But I'd like to start our time out together by welcoming everybody, including anybody who may be with us online for the very first time. If you are online and haven't been with us before, you can put your email in the chat. And we'll be happy to put you on our list so you can get updates about what we're doing. And we welcome you. We're glad you're here today. So let's start out with our mission and vision foundation statements. And I can do this. I know I can. And there we go. So the mission of Unity Center of Light, please join me in this, is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. So it is. And our foundation statement, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. So now I would like to invite Brenna to share the daily word with us for today. We're not hearing you.
Good morning, church family. Sunday, May 14th, blessing for mothers. I bless all mothers with thoughts of gratitude. There's nothing quite like a mother's love, so nurturing, caring, and warm. Today, I bless the women in my life who express this love in all they do. Whether it's the woman who raised me or any of the other women I know who so generously shared a mother's love. I have felt the care of God through their tender touch and encouraging words. Over the years, I have grown strong and confident under their kind direction and have relied upon their wisdom. The divine feminine flourishes on earth in loving words and caring hands of mothers and all those who share a mother's love. I bless them and pray they know the love of God as they have shared it so generously with me. Then the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives, and as you live, and as you yourself live, I will not live, I will not leave without you." Kings 2, chapter 4, verse 3.
Thank you, Brenna. So it's my great pleasure to introduce somebody who to many of you is very familiar and who is a soul sister to many others. And in spite of the fact that she moved out to California some years ago, is one of our hometown regulars on our Zoom Sunday services. So there's a lot more I could say about what a wonderful coach she is and a speaker and so many other things. And but I'm going to let her speak for herself. And I'm going to say, let's welcome her sharing with us today on Mary, Myrtle, and Mom.
Good morning, Unity Center of Light. Thank you for being here with me today. Why am I nervous? I don't know. This is family. Take a deep breath with me. With all of the advertising that you hear about Mother's Day, you start to reflect on your own mother, what she did for you or didn't do for you. And one of the things that kept coming to my mind recently was my mother used to say to us when we were very young, "You're my horse if you never win a race." Ma, why are you calling me a horse? I didn't understand what that meant. She tried to explain it to me, And one of the reasons one of the things I remember is her saying, because to me, you're a winner. Now, if you want to stay a winner, you have to keep sharpening your skills, keep expanding your horizons by talking to other people and learning about other ideas, and keep growing. Okay, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Woo, that was probably one of the best things my mother could do for me in helping me develop my own self-identity. Today, I want to share how three women impacted me, but also probably impacted you. And you know, when you have to give the title to April in advance, you come up with a title, and then you have to figure out, how am I going to make this work? So our title today is Mary, Myrtle, and Mom. We'll start with Mary, Mother of Jesus. For those of us who have studied the Bible, you know that there are very few recorded interactions between Mary and Jesus. And on a couple of them, it sounds like Jesus is actually being disrespectful or harsh toward Mary. The first one I want to bring to mind is Matthew 12:46-50. Jesus is teaching inside of a house, and Mary comes to the house with his brothers and tells one of the attendants, could you go get him? I want to speak to him. And Jesus, so the guy goes in and says, your mother wants to talk to you. And Jesus says, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Now, if you were Mary in that moment, I think you would feel a little disconnected, a little, not necessarily disrespected, but a little disconnected. You would feel disappointed that your son would respond like that. However, Mary knew the potential of Jesus, and she probably took a deep breath and said, I know he's going to come around. I know he's going to treat me better than this. But in fact, what Jesus said was, he declared that anyone who does the will of his Father in heaven is his brother and sister. And that probably affected the people in the crowd more than Mary, but she was proud that he had a way to turn it around and make everyone feel included. A second interaction that we know about is at the wedding in Cana. Everyone's at the wedding, having a good time, partying, and suddenly they run out of wine. Jesus is hanging out with his disciples, and Mary calls to him, come, I want to talk to you a second. And she says, the wine has run out. Handle that. And Jesus says, whoa, why do you include me? Why do you involve me in this? My time has not yet come. Mary, once again, as the mother of Jesus, how would you feel if your child responded like that? Especially because Mary knew the divine potential of Jesus. She knew that he had skills and the ability to resolve this situation. And she continued to have that trust in him. She turned to the servants and said, do whatever he tells you. And then, as you may know, they bought jugs of water and he turned it into wine, and it was the best wine ever. So in those two instances, Jesus may not have reacted toward his mother in a very kind way, but his mother continued to bet on him. His mother knew that he had divine potential and ability, that he was a winner. Let's look at Myrtle. Now, I came to Unity I was about 21 years old, so it was a while ago. And my mom actually brought me to Unity. When I went to the first service, it was at Unity of New York with Eric Butterworth. And I just thought it was so powerful. It was such a beautiful and loving environment. But one thing I noticed coming week after week, everybody referred to Charles Fillmore or the Fillmores as the founders of Unity. Now, for all of us here, we should know that Unity was founded by Charles N. Myrtle Fillmore. Myrtle was his wife and a very instrumental part of establishing the Unity movement. In fact, Myrtle was the founder of Silent Unity, our prayer ministry, which is still going on today, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Someone is there to pray for you. And a few years ago, 20 years ago, we started a prayer team at Unity Center of Light. And I was a part of that prayer team. When you all would write in your prayer requests, we would all pray for you, but a few of us took it upon ourselves to write back. I would always go to the source, the Myrtle Fillmore Healing Letters, and look for some guidance or inspiration as to how to address your prayer request. This little book, Myrtle Fillmore's Healing Letters, was an essential resource for me. The way the book is organized, it's really a copy of the actual letters that Myrtle would write back to people who requested prayer over 100 years ago. Some of the same principles apply. She gave us guidance on how to pray, how to heal, how to meditate. Myrtle Fillmore was a significant part of our Unity movement. And I suggest anyone who doesn't have that book, get a copy. You can find it online in a PDF format, but I like to have the hard copy so I can mark it up and refer to it often. I want to read one of the quotes that Myrtle wrote in her book, in her chapter entitled Prayer. Myrtle writes, "Prayers aren't sent out at all. Sometimes that is our trouble. Where would we send our prayers? We should direct them to our minds and our hearts and affairs. We commune with God mind within our own consciousness. Prayer is an exercise to change our thought habits and our living habits that we may set up a new and better activity in accord with the divine law rather than with the suggestions we have received from various sources." Breathe that in. When we pray, the part that comes with it is that we have to move our feet. We have to make some changes in our habits, in our thinking. Myrtle reinforced the fact that silent unity does not have magic words that we just throw out and heal your situation, that you need to be involved in healing of your consciousness. So I ask you to, just like Jesus responded to his mother, like he put up the hand, he wasn't ready. "I don't want to hear that, I'm not ready." Do you want to see a change in your life? Do you want your prayers to be answered? Or are you putting up the hand and not following the guidelines? mom. My mom was always present. Now, she had a full-time job, but I remember her cleaning, cooking, combing hair, correcting homework. My mom was an instrumental part of my life and always helped me solve problems that I remember coming up with problems in my room at age 5, all the way to age 55 when she transitioned. Mom. I'm sure your mom helped you in many ways. And it's funny that we wait until this one day a year, Mother's Day, to look back and reflect on or to acknowledge what mom contributed, how mom helped you become a winner. I just find that very, We need to do it more frequently. I try to think, I have a big picture of my mom in my living room, actually. And so my mom is present with me every day. I also recalled one of the times when I was a Girl Scout. I don't know, I guess it was eight-ish, maybe 9. I had one of those green uniforms. So if anybody knows scouting, you know what year I'm talking about. It was green and it had the dark green sash that you wore. Well, on the sash, you put your badges to show how accomplished you are as a Girl Scout. And I would tell my mother, all these girls at the meeting, they have a lot of badges and I only have 2. And she said, well, you can do better. You can sharpen your skills. You're a winner. So I found one of the badges that I thought I'd go after was called the cooking badge. And some of you who know me now know that cooking is not one of my favorite things to do, but I found this cooking badge and I wanted to go for it. I flipped through the Girl Scout magazine and I found a recipe for penny franks and eggs. That sounded good and it sounded like something I could do. I got the ingredients together and I remember the morning that I went to try this. I took the eggs out, I cracked the egg on the table like I had seen my mother do, put it in the bowl, a few eggs. I took the frankfurter and the butter knife and chopped that frankfurter so that it looked like pennies. So now I had a bowl of pennies. I poured it into the eggs and stir. Poured it into the frying pan. And I'm making, oh, wait, I forgot to tell you. Because I had also watched my mother prepare scrambled eggs, I reached for that blue iodized salt container. And I poured it into my mixture. I made plates for everyone in the family. And my mom took a bite and said, thank you for helping me with breakfast. But would you like some suggestions on how we can make this better? Yeah, what should I do? And she said, next time, let's just put a dash of salt instead of pouring the salt in, because this is too strong. And so we kind of, I don't remember if we ate it or we tossed all of it out, but it was a powerful breakfast. But mom helped me revise and learn a little bit more so that I could sharpen my skills, go back to my Girl Scout leader and say I had done this successfully. She encouraged me so that I could continue to be a winner. And I loved her for that. A few years later, I was a preteen. I remember one day that my sister and I were sitting on the stoop. And sitting on the stoop in Brooklyn, New York is like a kid's favorite pastime. You think you're doing something, which is really doing nothing. We were on the stoop and mom came out and said, Do you guys want to go with me to Green Acres? Woo, yeah, Green Acres. We had seen Green Acres Mall on the TV. Green Acres Mall had all of these stores in one place and food concessions all in one place. We had never seen anything like that. So we wanted to go. We piled into her car. And after a while, Mom said, "We're going to stop at Wilma's first." Wilma's? We don't want to go to your friend Wilma's house. She has plastic on her sofa. We went anyway. We had lemonade and cookies, and we enjoyed a quite nice, not formal, but more formal than we were used to, setting. When we left Wilma's, my mom said, "Let's stop at Aunt Marie's since we're so close." Another deep breath. We go to my Aunt Marie's. We didn't want to go there either because she had three boys, and you know boys. Eh. But turns out we had fun when we got there because they had a basement, and the kids could go into the basement and play music and dance. So it turned out to be a good experience. We never stopped at Green Acres Mall. And so from then on, whenever my mother would say, "Do you guys want to go with me to XYZ?" our response was, "Are you going to pull a Green Acres on us?" You see, Mom was teaching something without preaching. She was demonstrating how we could learn about how other people live and expand our minds. Thank you, Mom. Many times, your mother has a view for you that is much greater than you can view for yourself. She has faith in you, and she knows your capabilities. She will give advice, and sometimes that advice is really coming in the forms of rules and regulations, which is why many young people rebel against their mom, especially in the teenage years. You rebel against mom. You don't want to hear it. Stop, stop, stop. But guess what? She loves you unconditionally and sees the winner in you. My mom helped me to become the person that I am today, and I honor her and I thank her. What I'd like to suggest for all of you today is to, no matter where your mother is, I want you to stop, acknowledge her, show some affection toward her, and accept her. Take a deep breath. And now I'd like to invite you to join me at the Myrtle Fillmore Grove in Unity Village. Thank you, Mom, for making a way. Thank you, Mother Myrtle, for making a way. Thank you, Mother Mary, for making a way. Take a deep breath. Come back to this space, knowing and appreciating all that Mother has done for you and all that those who have mothered you represent. Amen. Let it be.
Amen. Thank you, Christine. And thank you, Mary, Myrtle, and Mom.